I'm glad to be here with you. Really am. And I honestly would rather be sitting listening to your pastor. I really would. But I'm so happy to be able to help him out and let him sit and relax. And I'm going to bring, Lord willing, a message I brought at home this morning. And if some of our people are listening and watching this right now, I'll say with Paul that to preach the same things to me is not grievous at all. And for you, it's safe. This was a blessing to me this morning. It seemed to be to some others, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Go back to John 21 that Brother Gabe read for us. John 21. Brother Gabe told me that he just finished in John, the Gospel of John, a little over a year or so ago. That's long enough for everyone to forget most everything. And we just preach in part, don't we? We know in part. Paul said that. If he said that, where does that leave us? But John 21, it says in verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee. He showed himself again. He showed himself. The first time they met him, truly, was there. That's where he found them. That's where he called them, and he showed himself to them then. And he showed himself after he arose three times, again and again and again. He kept showing or revealing himself to them. John said, we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we might know him that is true. He showed himself to his disciples. That's who he shows himself to. Look back at chapter 20. Verse 30 says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. He showed himself to his disciples. That's who he revealed himself to. That's who he still reveals himself to. He reveals himself to his people. He was on the earth after he arose from the grave 40 days. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it is, that he showed himself, he was seen of over 500 brethren. Brethren, that's who he showed himself to. That's who he kept revealing himself to. Salvation is a revelation, a revelation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the heavens declare his glory, the firmament showeth his handiwork, day unto day others speak. Men and women are without excuse, aren't they? But the fact of the matter is, he has not revealed himself to them. And how blessed we are. If he has chosen us, if we're one of his elect, and he's chosen to reveal his Son, not just to us, but in us. And again and again and again, he keeps showing himself to his disciples. You've seen these things before. You have seen these very passages before. But if we see something new of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's marvelous. He shows himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise he showed himself. Verse 2, there were together Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael, Cana, and sons of Zebedeus, James and John, two other disciples unmentioned. But they were together. Brother Gabe and I were talking about that before the service. That's who the Lord meets with. Those that were two or three are gathered together in his name. He has promised to be there. The church of God. God is in the midst of her. The very present help in time of trouble, he's in the midst of her. Wherever God's people are met together, that's where the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to be. And so that's why Paul said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. But exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You do see the day approaching. His coming draweth nigh. The signs clearly show. These are the very last day. And our Lord meets with those who are gathered together. And here we are. It was Simon Peter and Thomas. Thomas. Now, right before this, the Lord, the first time, met with them, revealed himself to them after he was crucified. But Thomas wasn't there. And he didn't believe. And Brother Gabe and I were talking about this, how that you can tell somebody about a message you've heard. You can tell them what a blessing it was. But if you weren't there, you can't enter into it. You've got to hear his voice for yourself, don't you? You've got to see his glory for yourself in the Word. And Thomas, he wasn't there. Well, he's there now. He's not going to miss this, is he? He's not going to miss it. Didymus. Have you ever wondered what Didymus meant? It means twin. It means a twin. He had a twin brother. Or sister. Where were they? No mention ever made. Made of that twin brother or sister. Did the Lord say him? Maybe not. You see, he's like Cain and Abel, isn't he? Jacob and Esau. Thomas. He had a twin just like him. Born in the same house, but God chose him. Wasn't he grateful to be one of God's chosen? Wasn't he grateful to be one of these that were called? Thomas. They're all together, and verse 3. So they're all together, and Simon Peter. Simon Peter said unto them. Now, the Lord had told them to go to Galilee and he would meet with them, didn't he? He told them, he had already appeared to them, and he told them to go to Galilee and he would meet with them there. He already told them that I am sending you as the Father sent me, so sent I you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He had already told that. And they're there waiting on him. And he's been on the earth for 40 days or 30 days, however many times. And they don't know where he is. They don't know when he's coming back to see him, talk to him again. And so Peter gets impatient waiting on the Lord. And he said, you know, he's not leaving the ministry. He's not departing from the living God. No. What he's saying is, I'm going fishing. I think he might have thought, I'm going to earn a little money. The wife needs some money. I'm going to go fishing. Well, the other disciples said, we'll go with you. James and John, especially. Peter loved the sea. He loved the boats. He loved fishing. That was his life before the Lord called him. A little while later, the Lord's going to ask him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? Well, he did it before the Lord saved him. And now he's waiting on the Lord, but he's impatient. And I love Simon Peter. I really do. Aren't you glad? You know, it takes all kinds. Don't you love Simon Peter? He was impatient. He was impulsive. He was outspoken. He'd rush headlong into everything without thinking. Takes all kinds, doesn't it? All kinds. He was the first to speak out. He spoke when he shouldn't, but he spoke when he should have. He spoke when nobody else would speak. He spoke before the enemies of the Lord after the Lord went back to glory. He spoke before those Pharisees and said, should we obey men or God? Nobody else, but he spoke out. At Pentecost, he's the one the Lord used to speak out. The one the Lord used to save 3,000 people through his preaching. I love Simon Peter. But he said, I'm going fishing. Did he seek the Lord's will in doing that? No. Did the other disciples? Did they say, let's all ask the Lord. Let's call on the Lord and see what we should do while we're waiting on him. Let's ask. No, none of them did that. I'm going fishing. Well, what's going to happen? Read on with it. They said, we'll go with you. And they went forth, entered into a ship immediately without thinking, without praying, without calling on the Lord. And that night, so they toiled all night long. What'd they get? Nothing. They didn't call on the Lord. They didn't seek the Lord. They did what they wanted to do, going where they wanted to go without seeking the Lord. And so the Lord commanded those fish, don't get in those nets. Don't get on that left side of that boat, whatever you do. Don't let them catch one of you. And they're going to toil all night and they're going to catch nothing. Well, the sun began to come up. Verse 4. When the sun, the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. I believe he was standing on the eastern shore. That's where the sun rises. Yeah. I believe he was standing over there. Sun began to come up, and Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was him. They were waiting on him to come. He was already there. No, you know, just like Mary in the garden, remember? She was looking for the Lord. Said, where have they laid him? They haven't done anything with your Lord. And she turned around. He was there all along. And she didn't know it. And she didn't know him. But they didn't know it was the Lord. They knew not that it was him. And our Lord said unto them, verse 5, now they're 100 yards offshore. Within shouting distance or earshot. And the Lord said unto them, children, have ye any meat? Have ye any meat? If I had a text, this would be it. If I had a subject, this would be it. If it's been substance of this message, this would be it. Have ye any meat after all your toils and after all your labor and after all your rushing headlong to do? Have ye found any substance? Now, meat, when the Lord uses the word, the term meat, for something that fulfills. Meat is fulfilling in it. I tried to be a vegetarian years ago, and you know what it left me? Hungry all the time. Hungry. It doesn't fill you up. But meat will, won't it? This is what the Lord's saying. Have you found any meat, anything fulfilling? Children? He called them children. Does that offend you? Our Lord said, except you become as little children, you'll not see the kingdom of God. Except you repent and be converted and become as little children, not enter the kingdom of God. I didn't see it and won't enter it. Must be little children. Little children that are completely dependent. Little children that are simple and ignorant and need to be taught and easily misled and need somebody to provide for them. Little children. The Lord always called them little children then. My little children. They should have recognized that voice immediately. Children, have you any meat? The Lord, in one line, can say so much, can't it? With one question. Adam, where art thou? One line. Have you any meat after all this time? After all this labor? Turn with me to, you turn to Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, this whole book is about the vanity of this life, isn't it? The preacher. We think it's Solomon, the son of David. But he said in chapter 1, verse 2, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? In chapter 2, he said, I hated life because the work under the sun is grievous and it's all vanity. He said, I hated all my labor I'd taken under the sun because I'm going to leave it to somebody else after me. And then the very last chapter, he ends this, the book of Ecclesiastes was saying, vanity of vanities. Chapter 12, verse 8, vanity of vanities. But look at chapter 7. Look at chapter 7, verse 14. You have it? Ecclesiastes 7, 14. It says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. And this whole book, and I say this to young people and newly married and, you know, want children and a house, and there's nothing wrong with that. And this book deals with that, doesn't it? In depth. There's nothing wrong with it. Just remember who gave it to you. Enjoy it, but don't say, if riches increase, set not your heart on them. And remember, the Lord gave, and the Lord can take it away. Ask Job. And he said, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. Remember this. That God hath set the one over against the other to this end, to this purpose. that a man should find nothing after him, nothing here. This is not our portion. This is not our lot in life. Oh, the lions have fallen unto us in pleasant places. We have a portion, but it's not here. This is not our continuing city. We look for one whose builder and maker is God. The Lord is our portion. He is our portion. And the Lord had the disciples go through all this labor and this toil all night long to show us that we labor in darkness. We labor in this world of darkness for these things. And after it's all over, Job said then, he said, naked I came, naked I shall return. We came into this world with nothing. It's certain we'll go out with nothing. Peter in this story was naked. How significant is that? He started out as a naked fisherman, and now here in the end, he ends up a naked fisherman. And he toils all night and he catches nothing. We need to consider, our Lord said, that we're not going to find anything here. The Lord, in mercy, in grace, in great love, and as our Heavenly Father, He shows us that this is not our portion. The Lord is our portion. Enjoy it for what it is, but remember, it's vanity and it's temporary. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So provide for yourself bags that wax not old. Nothing and no one can take away from you. There's wisdom. There's wisdom. Have you any meat? Do you find any fulfillment? Now, there's nobody that enjoys their children and their wife and things more than I do. But really, whatever it is, whoever it is, you're going to be disappointed. Your heart's going to be broken. It's going to happen. And you're going to lose it. Whatever it is and whoever it is, you're going to lose it. No. Have you any meat after all these years? No. Can you hear their answer? Anybody that's a fisherman in here and you fished all day or all night. Someone said, if you have to ask the fisherman if he caught anything, don't. Don't. You won't have to ask him. He'll be texting you while he's in the boat, showing you pictures. And can you hear their voice? They've been out all night fishing. And here's somebody on the shore. They don't know who it is. Children, have you had any meat? Who is that? What's he? Can you hear it? Jared? No! No. Irritable, upset, tired. No. It's a good thing, though. It's a good thing. To labor in darkness, to labor all night, long night. Brother Crabtree, I heard him preach this 3 times. It's such a blessing to me. If you don't like this, go hear his message. But he said, he really made a point with us preachers. He said, how often do you labor? A long time, maybe even all night, in prayer, in study, seeking a message from the Lord. And it seems like it's for nothing. You don't catch a thing. How often does that happen? Too often. And you get so discouraged. Your wife asks you, how's it going? Nothing. Leave me alone. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I can't help but think. Look at verse 6. The Lord said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. You know this happened before, don't you? When they first met the Lord. This is how Peter first knew it was the Lord. Do you remember? The Lord came and was at the Sea of Tiberias, Galilee, and he saw a ship, and Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John were washing their nets, and there was a boat, and the Lord got in that ship. He didn't ask them permission. He got in their ship, their boat, and said to Simon Peter, gave a command, said, cast off. We're going out here for a draft. I asked a brother one time, Greg Elmquist, we were washing our nets after fishing all day. I think we caught something. But anyway, I said, what would you do if a man came up to you, and you were out, and he just got in your boat and said, come on, we're going out fishing. He said, it has to be the Lord. Well, it was. You see, the Lord gives a command. He doesn't ask a request. He gives a command. So they cast off, and they went out, and he said, cast your net on it. Master, teacher, rabbi, we've been doing this all our lives. Well, what did you catch last night? Nothing. But, nevertheless, that's your word. And they cast that net and got all those ships, and they filled up both boats, and they were about to sink. Simon Peter knew for the first time who this rabbi was, who this man was. This is no mere man. This is the master of the sea. This is the Lord of the universe. This is the Lord over the sea, over the creatures in the sea, over men, over devils. And he knew the one who knows every fish in that water knows my thoughts. And Simon Peter hit his knees and began to repent and began to ask the Lord for mercy. He said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Depart from you, Simon. No, I came for you. You're the one I came for. I'm the great fisher of men, and I came to catch you. And he caught him. And that's how he revealed himself to Simon in the beginning. And here in the end, he reveals himself the same way. The Lord. And I can't help but think the Lord is saying here, and saying, cast your net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. I can't help but believe he's saying there's a right way and a wrong way. There's a right path and there's a wrong path. Who's on the Lord's side? That's what Moses said, didn't he? Huh? In Proverbs chapter 1, the Lord tells us through the preacher, through Solomon, he says that wicked, the sinful, will say, cast in your lot with us. Come thou with us. We'll find all precious substance. We'll have a good time. We'll just fill ourselves up with all this. Cast your lot in with us. And the wise man said, don't cast your lot with them. Don't cast your line with them. Don't go with them. Don't walk with them. Walk in the paths of righteousness. Walk for his name's sake. Walk with the Lord like Enoch. Don't go with them. There's a right way and a wrong way, and there's a right side and a wrong side. What side's the right side? The Lord's side. It's not a good way. It's the only way. He said, I am the way. People seek a line of work. Cast their net line. They're looking for a line of work. Where? You don't go where the gospel's not. The Lord's not in that. You know what you'll find? If you cast your lot in a place where the gospel's not, you'll find nothing. Young people that date unbelievers and leave the gospel, or even go off to school where there's no gospel. That's not of the Lord. You know what you'll find? Nothing. I'm going to say this. I wrote a letter to two young girls, and both of them were dating unbelievers. And I cared deeply about them, so I wrote them. And I warned them, and I used scripture after scripture after scripture, what the Lord says about seeking a mate that knows the Lord. Don't go after those that don't know the Lord. They'll steal your hearts away. The Lord said they'll steal your hearts away. Well, one of them ignored completely what I said. I said to her, both of them, same thing. I said, you can either take the Lord at his word, or you can take your chances. Go a little bit. Cast your net on the right side. And you'll find. You'll be blessed. Your cup will run over. Your net will be full. One of the girls listened to me. The Lord, the Word. And she's so glad. Didn't you, Linda? Well, they cast, therefore, at his word. Verse 6. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. They were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. Now, I am sure, and you know this, your pastors preach from it, that this is certainly a picture, a prophetic picture of how the Lord will draw, the Lord will draw. These disciples didn't catch these fish. The Lord gave the command. And but this is a picture, a prophetic picture of the great multitude of people whom the Lord has chosen. All of them shall be gathered one way. You know that? One way. Notice what they used to catch these fish. A net. They didn't use a hook, line, or sinker. They didn't use artificial bait. They didn't use lures, man-made lures, to try to entice, to try to deceive the fish into coming, into biting it, did they? That's not how the Lord catches sinners. That's not how the Lord saves people, through deception. God's not a beggar. God doesn't ask. God doesn't trick people into coming to His house to worship Him. And people that do that are not God's preacher. That's not God's church. And you know how it is. It happens all over the place. They use tricks and schemes and methods to bring people in, to entice them in. And they're ashamed of it. They'll know the gospel, one, number one. They're ashamed of it. And they're going to sneak it in on people. That's evil, isn't it? It's not of the Lord. And ain't nothing to that. The Lord uses a net. The gospel is called a net. A net encloses the fish. A net surrounds the fish. A net apprehends the fish. And that's our gospel. Like Saul of Tarsus. He was surrounded by that light. He couldn't get away. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I was apprehended. And that's how God brings His people. Through the preaching of the gospel. A gospel preacher stands up and preaches Christ. And the net, the gospel net, apprehends those whom the Lord has chosen. They're coming. And it's a great multitude. And it said, look, read on that. The other disciples, down in verse 11, it says there are 153 fish. 153 fish. An exact number. Why is there an exact number? Why did He give an exact number? Because the Lord has them number. It's a people that no man can number, but the Lord knows them. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. He chose them. If the hairs of your head are numbered, what about all the heads? That's easy. He has His people numbered. Why are they an odd number? Because that's us. We're an odd lot. 153. Verse 7, though, but Peter, the disciple whom the Lord loved, said to Peter, it's the Lord. It is the Lord. They finally recognized that boy without seeing His face yet. And that's how it is. We first hear His word, and then we see His glory. But He said, it is the Lord. Now, Simon Peter, when he heard that it was the Lord, he was naked, so he girt his fisher coat unto him and did cast himself into the sea. Now, Simon Peter, before this, he had just denied the Lord, hadn't he? He had just denied his Lord. He had just reverted back to that old cussing sailor he used to be. And in spite of his sin, in spite of his shame, in spite of his denial of the Lord, he couldn't get to the Lord fast enough. And he dove before he's casting his nets into the sea. Now he's casting himself into the sea. And you know what he's saying? Sink or swim, I've got to go to Him. I've got to get to Him. In spite of my sin, because of my sin, that's why I'm going to Him. And he cast himself in the sea. And what he's saying also is, you fellas can stay here. I've got to get to Him. I've got to get to the Lord. I've got to see His face. I've got to hear His voice. I've got to get to Him. You reckon He'll receive you, Simon? Yeah. I denied Him, but he can't deny himself. So he cast himself upon the mercy of the Lord. Cast your cares upon the Lord. He careth for you. He came for you. He came for His own. And he cast himself into that sea and came to our Lord. The other disciples, they were dragging the net with the fishes. And soon as they came to land, verse 9, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid there on bread. Now, if any of you have ever been camping or had a fire in your pit in the backyard, how long does it take to get a good bed of coals? Huh? You stoke the fire for the first hour or so, and it goes out, and you put more kindling on, and it goes out, and you keep stoking until finally it starts burning. And then after several hours, it burns down, and you've got this hot bed of coals. How long had the Lord been there? All night long. What was he doing? Watching it. He said, I'll never leave you, didn't he? They couldn't see him. He was there. He was watching. In the night season and all the day long, he leads his dear children now. He's watching. He's watching. Maybe one of them said, who's that over on the shore? I don't know. He saw them. And he had waiting for them fish and bread. And he said in verse 10, bring the fish which you have caught. They didn't catch any fish. They didn't catch a thing, did they? The net did. The Lord gave the command. Simon Peter knew it. He didn't catch one of those fish. There's no room for boasting. Preachers don't save anybody. Messages don't save anybody. The Lord saved people. It's not our outline. It's not our comments on it. It's His Word. And that's our encouragement in it, Brother Gabe. Just, we have the same net. Keep casting it. Noah fished 120 years. He had 8 people. He was glad of it. Cast the net. They knew they hadn't caught one fish. The Lord did. He gave the command. The net did. They didn't catch these fish. But Simon Peter went up and he drew the net to land full of great fishes. Before, they could not draw the net. It was full of fish. They couldn't draw it. You know, except God draw us, we won't be drawn with them. As He gives the command. He said, bring them. Our Lord said, I'll bring them. I'll bring them from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. I'll use the preacher of the gospel too. I'll bring them. And it'll be a great number of great fishes. Verse 11 says that it was full of great fishes. Great fishes. Big fish. Now, really, now, let me ask you. Is there anything great about a fish? Huh? Is there anything great about a fish? Fish is a fish, isn't it? If it's a big fish, if it's a little fish, it's a fish, isn't it? And all fish have one thing in common. What is it? They stink. Huh? Tell me. They're out of the water any time at all. They stink. That's what fish have in common. They all stink. You can't mistake a fish. People talk about fresh fish. This is fresh fish. It's dead fish. It can't be fresh. It's dead. It's stinking. That which is flesh is flesh. The scripture says. We all have this in common. Why aren't we? Stinking sinners. Great sinners. Nothing great about us. It's so great a God. So great a salvation. A great work of redemption. It took to save us. We're all a bunch of great sinners. David was not a great man. He was a shepherd whom the Lord found following sheep. But He made him a great man. And David said, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. I'm just a great sinner. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. What's great about me is I'm the chiefest of sinners. That's who the Lord saved. That's who the net catches. Chief of sinners. Great sinner. And look at this. There were so many, 153, there were so many, yet the net wasn't broken. The net wasn't broken. In other words, no matter how great a fish it was, no matter how big a fish it was, he couldn't get out of that net. Are you with me? No matter how great that fish was, it could not get out of the net. The net was holding them. The net was keeping them. You say, I'm the chief of sinners. No way I'll last. If you're kept by the power of God, you will. And the gospel's the power of God. This gospel's the power of God. You must be under the sound of the gospel. It's what keeps us. And you know what? If you are, if you're under the sound of the gospel, if you keep yourselves in the love of God, Paul said, that means under the sound of the gospel, you will not escape. You will not leave. No man will pluck you out of this net. You have God's word on. The net did not break. No great fish could get out of that net. Those whom thou hast given me, I've kept. None is lost. Brethren, stay right here. Stay in the boat. Stay in the ship. This is where the gospel's preached. This is safety. Where the Lord keeps His people together, seeking His face. And the Lord said in verse 12, come and dine. And Lord, now the Lord had already prepared for them fish and bread. Fish and bread. Does that sound familiar? That's the first thing he fed the masses on the mountain. The first thing, fish and bread. And now here in the inn, they're eating the same thing. Do you reckon that when they ate those fish, loaves and fish in the very beginning, they thought, this is so good. This is so good. Have you ever tasted fish like that? Have you ever tasted bread like that? And in the gospel like that, when you first hear it, when you first hear this gospel, don't you think, this is the best thing I've ever tasted? The sovereign grace of God, the mercy of God in Christ. Isn't this the most wonderful thing? This bread of life, this water of life, I can't get enough of. Isn't this wonderful? Can I have another helping? Sure you can. Have all you want. We got 12 baskets full. Eat. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it, the Lord said. Well, here in the end, 3.5 years later, he's feeding them the same thing. And they were hungry and they were toiling all night and they couldn't provide anything for them. The Lord had already provided it for them. And they come in and they feast on this bread and this fish and they say, this is better now than it was in the beginning. Is that the way it is with you? You know, the Lord tried the children of Israel by that manna. He said, I'm going to prove you by this manna. The Lord gave them bread from heaven, which is a picture of Christ. And he said, I'm going to prove you by this. You're going to eat this for 40 years. And if anybody grows tired of it, God grew tired of them. And some did, didn't they? Joshua and Caleb didn't. They said, this is just as good today as it was the day we first ate it. That water out of that rock is just as sweet as the day we first tasted it. My mother this morning, my mom heard this message. Okay? And she was going on and on and on. All right? Like she'd never heard it before. You think she's heard this before? You think she's heard a good preacher preach this before? Huh? How many times? You say, that's because she loves the preacher. Yes! She loves the Lord and she loves the preacher, he says. No matter who it is. Right? Yes, but she loves it just as much now as she did the day she heard it. Doesn't matter who's telling it, she loves it. What is it? It's the Lord. This bread, this fish is the Lord. That fish gave its life to sustain their life. So did our Lord, Christ crucified. That bread, like a grain of wheat, a corn of wheat that fell in the ground and sprang up, was cut down, cast in the oven. That's Christ crucified. He said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the water of life. He said, my flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. And those who really feed on Christ, those who really tasted the Lord is gracious. Not the doctrines of grace, but the Lord is gracious. Buddy, I can't get enough of it. And it's just as sweet and just as wonderful the day as the day they heard it. And they're thankful for it. The Lord provided it. He had already prepared this. And look at verse 13. Then Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them. Now, the Lord had already prepared this before they got there. It was waiting on them. The Lord had already prepared his people, had already prepared his sacrifice. The Lord is a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He had already prepared all of this before the foundation of the world, but then he cometh. Then he came. He had to come in time, didn't he? In the fullness of time, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that are under the law. And he taketh bread. Who's doing all this? Are they helping out, Cody? No. The Lord did all this. He had already prepared it. He came for them, waiting on them to be gracious, to feed them. He takes the bread and he does what? Offers it to them? No. Gives it to them. You're saved by grace. That means grace bestowed. That means salvation bestowed, not offered. And he giveth them and fish likewise. He said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Take this. They took it. Now this is the third time that he showed himself again. Same way. Always the same way. Same Lord. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope of our calling, one Spirit, one Father, one message, one net, one hope. Oh, isn't this gospel wonderful, huh? I never get tired of telling it. Brother William met him at the door and he said, I'm so glad to be here. Irene said, you got something good to feed us? Well, I don't know, Irene. Did you get any? Good. Then it's the Lord.
Because this poor vessel, it's the Lord. But isn't this gospel wonderful? And haven't you got a wonderful pastor and a wonderful little boat? But oh my, all glory belongs to our Lord. Thank you for having me. Lord bless you.